Last night, I spoke on a commitment to the Word of God. And I had a conversation this afternoon with a couple of folks, and I'm going to ask someone to come up here and to share very briefly with us this evening. Young man from Russia, Fyodor Baranuk, and he's in seminary and is going to go back to work with the Baptist churches in Russia. And in particular, come on up, Fyodor, and we'll need this particular mic here. And I've asked him just to share a little bit particularly on how invaluable the Scriptures were to him at a certain point in his life. So, Fyodor, why don't you go ahead and share.
Thank you, Dr. White, for this opportunity. I am enjoying my time over here, and because we are all worshiping God, and you're good people, good crowd. Everybody shares some stories, and I would like to share some stories as well. About one little boy, he came home, and he came home and said, "Mama, my teacher asked me to write a story about my family." And she said, "Okay." And she said, "Mom, let me ask you, where my grandma come from? Where did she come from?" She looked at him and she said, "Son, your grandma came from stork. You know, it flies."
Yeah, stork, yeah.
And he said, "Okay." He went back to his room, began to write a story about his family. You know, something didn't fit. So he went back to his mama and said, "Mama, let me ask you again. I know my grandma. Let me ask you, where did you come from?" She looked at him and she said, "Son, from stork. You know, it flies." And he said, "Okay." Went back to his room, began to write. Couldn't, you know, start to begin. And he went back to his mother, said, "Mother, now let me ask again. I know about my grandma. I know about you. But now, where did I come from?" And she looked at him and she said, "Son, from stork." He said, "Okay." Went back to his room, began to write a story about his family. And took a pencil, you know, a piece of paper, began to write. And the first sentence was that in this family, for three generations, it has been no normal childbirth.
Good.
Well, the point of this story is it's not a matter of where did we come from, because we all came from one stage. Once we were sinners, and we know the one who saved us, and we know with whom we're going to spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, once I had the same, very similar situation in my family. I came to my mother and I had a question. And I said, "Mother, when we go to the church every Sunday morning, and usually you and I and my brother and my sister, we go there. But Mom, why my dad doesn't go to church?" And she looked at me and she said, "Son, let me tell you the story." And we sat down and she said, "I'm going to tell you why your dad doesn't go to church, but please, don't tell it anybody." And so we sat down, she looked at me and she said, "Son, your dad doesn't go to church because he is a preacher in one of the underground churches." And at that time I didn't know what was underground church, I mean, just had no idea. And I came to Dad, I said, "Dad, I know about you." and I said, "Dad, can you take me to this church?" He said, "Sure." So we went to the church and we took a train about a couple hours on the train and came to the village. And there was just normal house, and we stayed at the house, and it was a normal service. My dad preached, you know, they prayed, they were singing songs, just normal service. Well, except one, they didn't take a love offering, but everything was just the same thing. And my dad told me, "Son, you know, those people who attended the service, they were crying, of course, they were in tears while my dad preached." And I said, "Dad, why they were crying? Why they in tears?" He said, "Son, these people are praying for our country, that the Lord will give us better time, that we can worship God without fear, that you can be put in prison just because you're a Christian." And here will be so many other things what was going on in my country back in those 70s and 80s. And I was really shocked. You know, in my country, every young man was supposed to go to the military service. And time came after I finished college to go to the military service. So I was saved by then. I was baptized. And I was going to go to the service. And I knew from the other experience of other people that to be in the service, especially in the military service, where a bunch of non-Christian young men, anything could happen, you know, all these temptations, all these things. And I was kind of not scared, but I was concerned, you know, and I prayed a lot about that. And when I came to the service at military base, the very first day when I was there, we were standing in two lines, 90 people from the city of Moscow, and the officers asked us different questions. One of the questions was, you know, the last question actually was, are any Christians here? And I was standing in the, I'm gonna tall guy, I was standing in the second line, and I was kind of looking around, hoping someone would raise a hand and said, yes, I'm a Christian. And I would say, yeah, I'm with him, you know, I'm also a Christian. But no one raised the hand. And I just raised the hand. I said, yes, I'm a Christian. And when I said that, all these two lines were kind of broken, and people kind of turned to me, and they kind of surrounded me, and they were pushing each other. And what I realized was what was going on. They were trying to touch my shoulder, just to touch me. Because then I realized that they had never seen a Christian in their life. And that very first night, I was in bed, sleeping, kind of tired, and I realized my bed was shaking. I opened my eyes, about 30 men, young men were standing before my bed, and I can't use the language that they used, you know, and they said, how can I put that? They said, no, the meaning of that was, get up, we wanted to question you. And they said, you are a Christian, and so all this kind of stuff. Tell us who you are, what you are, we are going to spend 2 or 3 years with you. And, you know, I was ready to be beaten just or anything because they were so unfriendly, so angry. And I prayed silently, God said, God, help me to be your witness. And we sat down, and can you believe, all night long, it was just question and answers. God calmed down all of them. And I believe, folks, when we once get to heaven, and we'll be praising God there, I believe some of these men are going to be with us, praising the Lord. But, you know, so God, you know, I really appreciate the message that Dr. White preached last night. It really touched my heart. And he is perfectly right when he said that the only strength where we can get is from the Word of God. If we don't read it, if we don't eat it, you know, we're going to get sick. And then Satan can attack us. When I was in the military service, I didn't have a Bible. It was illegal. I prayed a lot. I said, God, help me to find a Bible. Help me to find your Word because I need it. And I prayed, I cried. And I wrote a letter to my brother Alex, sent it to Moscow, and asked him to find some kind of maybe small New Testament, maybe some small book so he can send me. Of course, it couldn't be printed in Russia. They just didn't exist. And once, is it tape? Yeah, it's tape. Well, once I received the box, it was smuggled to me when I was in the military base. And by the way, the base where I served, they dealt with missiles. And those guys, you know, guess what? They were pointed to you. And but the point of this is that I received the box, and I opened it. And in that box, I found a small book. And in my letter, I remember that I asked my brother Alex to put a special cover sheet on that. If he finds it, it had a zip. It's a small book like that. And I found that, and I opened it, and I unzipped it, and I opened it, and I realized it was New Testament in the book of Psalm. And my first move was I just got on my knees right there, and I just began crying. And literally, what I did, I just washed this New Testament with my tears. It was all wet. And I prayed that I thank God for his word, because I knew now I can survive, because I can read his word. He can talk to me directly. What I need, he'll give me. And another prayer, I said, God, this is your word. And I ask you, please protect it. Because if they found, I will be really in trouble. And then God answered my prayers. And for 2 years, I kept that small New Testament in my right boot. You know, some of you cowboys guys, and you have cowboys boots. I had a military boots. And right down there on my right boot, I had my New Testament. Well, it was uncomfortable. I got some blisters, and, you know, imagine how you could swim, you know, to be under snow, rain, all this kind of stuff. But it was there. When I wanted to read that, I just had to find a quiet place where no one could see me and just take my shoes off, just, you know, do the leg, open it, and just read it. And God would speak to me. He was so dear to me. It is still dear to me, you know. And I want to finish this story saying this. It was back in 1987 when I received that New Testament. You have probably have questioned, you know, how it got to me. Well, back then, one man from America came to Russia as a tourist. And he came to Russia, just kind of toured the city of Moscow, and he was able to smuggle three small New Testaments. He's an American man. And on his way back to the airport, on his very last day, since he couldn't find the church there, he was going back to the airport, and he asked the taxi driver, "Do you know any Baptist churches here in Moscow?" And it happened that that taxi driver said, "Yes, I do know where the church." And he said, "Take me there." So he took him there. By the time he came to the church, it was Sunday, and people were leaving. It was crowd. Well, it was just only one church that the government existed to have in that time. And all crowd was leaving the church. But for some reason, he couldn't explain. He said, "I was trying to beat the crowd and to go against the crowd." And when he reached somewhere in the middle of the building, you know, since it was so crowded, he had this New Testament, and he gave it to someone. And he didn't see him or her. He just found a hand and just kind of gave it to this person. And guess what? It was my brother. Guess what? In that time, I was praying to whom? To Almighty God to do that. And when I got this New Testament, I opened it, you know. And then that man left Moscow. And by the way, when I opened this New Testament, on the very first page, it was English script, handwriting. In that time, I couldn't read English. And of course, after snow and rain and wet and all this stuff, it was destroyed. You couldn't read. When I came to America 5 years ago, one of my prayers was, I lifted up this New Testament and I opened this page and I said, "God, I know by any human means it's impossible to find this person. But please, if you can, help me to find this person because I want to thank him." And once in the church I shared this testimony, and the pastor came after the service and he copied this first page. He said, "Let me copy." I said, "You can't find. I mean, the address is destroyed. I mean, there is no way." He said, "Give it to me." So I gave it to him. A few weeks later, I forgotten about that. And a few weeks later, I received a phone call. And someone from other hand said, "Fyodor, my name is Brent. My name is Fyodor." And, you know, and he said, no, Fyodor, you don't understand what I'm saying." I said, "Yes." He said, "Fyodor, you kept my New Testament in your right boot while you were in the military service." I said, "How come?" So he began talking to me. He told me this story. And for 2 or 3 hours, this man from California, for 2 or 3 hours, we talked and we cried and we prayed. Well, I didn't care. It was his long distance, but anyway. So, and he said, "Fyodor, I want you to invite to my church because I want you to come and share this thing, all this testimony with my church." So he called me later on and I took my family, my wife and two of my kids, and we flew to California. And I shared this testimony with the church. Boy, we had a service. And that people, I mean, they wanted to take the roof off so all the glory would go to God. And I want to finish by saying this. People very often ask me, "Fyodor, what do you like to do most in the United States?" You know, I've been here for almost 6 years. Well, if you ask my wife, she likes to go to Walmart. That's where all our money, you know. But I like to go to your stores, bookstores especially, and you go and you see those shelves, Christian literature, Bibles, and you can come to the manager and say, I need a brown cover, big print, Jesus sayings in red, you just name it, they'll just give it to you, whatever you need. And I almost cry when I see those Bibles. And you know, I was raised differently, but looking at these shelves and just realizing what the Lord has done in my life, I always praise Him that right now my country is different. Now you can stay in the middle of the street and preach the gospel, and you can get a crowd around you, and they all would like to read the Bible. They all would like to have one. I'm not asking you when you last time cried and took your Bible and cried and washed it by tears, but what I'm saying is, do we really appreciate what we have? May God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you.